Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good.
Let's see how I can contain this. My name is Emilio Williams, and I am one of the hosts in the family in the circle, and you're tuned to the Paradise Circle, formerly known as the newest things, but the Paradise Circle. It's peace and blessings, and it's a pleasure to have you here. And we're here every other Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central, and every other Sunday at 12 noon Eastern Time and 11 Central. And it is getting to be quite an adventure, quite a piece of fun, quite an enjoyment for me personally. And that's how I take it, to just be. What a joy. I'm saying that I was feeling, because if I had to put a feeling word today, my feeling word would be cosmocentric, if that means anything. Cosmocentric. I'm just, wow. I mean, what a day. My meditation today was just how much abundance and pleasure can I accept, and greet it today with not knowing what's going to happen. My role was to stay in the present, regardless, to stay in the now, regardless. And what an adventure. I mean, it just blew me away to stay connected to the present regardless. And it's such a different feeling. So I'm excited about being here with you. I know that we have some family members here, and we're going to jump into this show this evening. Let me do this way. Maha, how are you this evening? And what would be a feeling word for you?
I am moved by the spirit of gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And Michael, how about you? If you want to check in, how are you doing?
Hi, Emilio. Maha, good to be with you. My key word came as you were speaking. I feel pleasant. With the P-L. Sounds like present, but pleasant.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And Verena, I believe you're here with us as well. Are you able to check in? And how would you be?
Yes,
what's the feeling word? Where are you?
I'd love to check in. I'm feeling exuberant. I'm delighted to be on the call, but I won't be able to do any reading. I will be listening.
Okay. A blessing having you. And so Michael, are there others on in the studio switchboard that we need to bring in?
We are clean on this side.
Amen. So we're just talking about cosmocentric, and I mean, that's just, I'm on fire. There's another way of putting it. I'm just connected, feeling that way. And it's awesome to have the exuberance behind that and balance with pleasant and gentleness that will anchor it in a beautiful way. So it's a pleasure. The call-in number, if you're listening, wherever you're listening, is 656-564-9680. You can join in some of this exuberance and gentle pleasantness. And or you can also dial in 619-924-0817. And in the meanwhile, I think we'll just get started and say that we want to welcome you again to the Paradise Circle. We're a gathering of ordinary people practicing deep introspection and doing shadow work to come to know ourselves and solve everyday problems. Our inquiry is based on the idea that the word is alive and that language is where our power lives. Communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. By joining in, engaging, and coming back, we recently benefit from the distilled essence of an ultimate method of inquiry, known as the path of XPR, expire, and first received by Mahalene Lewis. That inquiry is radical, as it is based on sacred geometry. Each time we honestly engage in this unlearning, the cosmos rejoices. Each time we participate in a meeting, we renew the understanding that there is only one of us. We thereby increase our capacity to love what is and to sustain the sense of enough. And the Paradise Mystery, the Paradise Circle is sponsored by Empowering Now LLC, and receiving is the meaning of the Hebrew word Kabbalah. So if you hear us say something about, did you Kabbalah that? Where did you receive that? It's about receiving. And yes, it is a mystery that we are penetrating. Yes, we are talking about the shadows, and yes, we are talking about diving deeper. And before I go any further, let me just touch base and find out if there's anything that resonates there with any of you in the reading of page 3, the Paradise Circle, before we go further.
I may have shared this last week. This is Michael. I like the idea that was added in this new version, the emphasis on unlearning, you know, the Kabbalah, and the way that I thought about it for a long time has invited what I had perceived as a learning, and the distinction of the unlearning brings a new idea and a new meaning to what it is that we're about.
Amen. Amen. Maha, anything from you?
Well, to me, the shadow work, I'm touched by that because I feel that there is really no alternative to anything or to self-knowledge other than doing shadow work. I'm particularly sensitive to this right now and today, as I am seeing that if there is any friction in the psyche, any grain of sand, any impurity, whether I do my best to deny it or not, whether I make excuses or pretend it is not here, it's going to make itself known. And it's a little bit like a child that really needs counseling or really needs attention. And pushing the child away and hushing it and pretending it's not here does not work. So I am just seeing the utter practicality and connecting that more and more to doing shadow work as a way to resolve everyday problems.
Mm. Amen. That is so significant. It touches me what you're both saying, Michael, with the unlearning, and Maha with with the shadow work just 2 weeks ago. And there's just so much. I remember participating in this exercise and this experience that we had. And after the call, I mean, I know that there was a part that said, what if I would be able to dig into that and understand and inquire into that, the reason why I wasn't having peace, and I was talking about my team and projecting out on my team when I wasn't doing my own work. Well, it's been 2 weeks since then. And what's been really interesting is to get in touch with the anger that I had about all of that, to really look at the projections that I was putting out there on it all and how limiting it was for me, but to actually dig deeper and deeper into feeling what that was actually about. And I was projecting myself, and I wasn't doing the work. And so when I say I wasn't doing the work, I wasn't. We talked before, just to back up 1 second, we talked about paradise was lost by Adam and Eve when they lost their ability to feel. And I had just disconnected me from that and was projecting someone else as opposed to taking responsibility and own it. Well, once I began to own it and inquire into it, I could see the own pathology that I had about it, and could feel the anger and the sadness that I had within about it. And to sit fast forward, that took about a week. But then the next week, when I began to change my perception and look at it very differently and apply what I experienced and learned through the inquiry that we did, things just seemed to lighten up. And it's just been a really different, and you know, none of that changed. I changed. So, I mean, it's just really interesting that there's a lot more peace there. Things are happening now in rapid movement that have nothing to do with me, but I am actually being able to see when I let go how creativity comes forward and how much I was blocking the flow by not unlearning. And it goes back to what you were saying, Michael, just the unlearning part of unlearning the conditioned patterns that I had to be so defensive, to be so attacking, to be so protective, and unwillingness to unlearn that. Well, I couldn't do that until I started inquiring to go in and understand what was behind some of that for me and then surrender to let go. Now, there's still some work to do, but I feel so much more peaceful today than I was. And so I'm just tying this into what you're both saying. And coming back to the place that we talked about before, that when we talk about inquiry and surrender that we did on page 5, and how there's an inquiry within expire, that can be trusted because it's based on sacred geometry. And then the more we go deeper and deeper into it, there's no telling how deep the hole goes. So I just wanted to share that because I'm finding something that just clicked for me significant, and I actually feel so much different, so much lighter today than I felt 2 weeks ago talking about the exact same subject. So I just wanted to share that in the context of what you're both sharing as we're talking about applying what we're doing here on a week-to-week basis. Any thoughts or reactions, comments?
Well, this is Doreen. Actually, what's coming...
I just want to say Go ahead, Verena.
Okay, so I just wanted to say that first hearing Maha talk about it's all shadow work. Of course, I'm thinking about how I spent much of my life hiding in the shadow, and then to hear it's all shadow work, it really is a turnaround. You know, I can choose to hide in the shadow and hide behind layers and layers of self-deceit, or I can go into the shadow and with guidance, with care, with gentleness, see what I can see, find the nuggets that have been there all along, but I could not even stop to let myself imagine that there could be beauty in the shadow. Really struck me tonight.
Mm. Yeah, beautiful. Michael.
Yeah, I was just going to comment that the voice itself is such an important connection because it's tactile. You know, I can hear a difference in the confidence of the voice and the feeling, Emilio, that I could feel your enthusiasm, literally the Spirit of God coming through the sharing. And what I hear out of it, connecting it to what Maha says, like, you know, stuff happens, and I can either learn to understand what is without the resistance. And again, connecting it back to what Adam and Eve lost was the ability to feel. And so if I think that boys are supposed to be tough, then I won't give myself the opportunity to feel it enough to allow that reality to begin to be met in a place of understanding. So I love the way this is coming together and what each of you is bringing.
Amen. Well, Maha, there's something also that, and we're getting ready to go on to do some shadow work, and I really was very blessed by the way that you went into and even the rationale that you gave for, I believe it was page 7, the circle agreements. And I was wondering, because we are going deeper into shadow, and there are the necessity to have agreements in place in doing this kind of work, and was wondering if you would be willing to share what part of those agreements you would like to share. And I don't know whether we would share them all or whether it's appropriate to share them all, but what's your sense?
Well, yes, it's appropriate to share them all because they're part of the whole. So, you know, the shadow work can be pretty violent. And so the first agreement is actually the words that I began with is gentleness. Because when I am in the midst of power fighting force, unless I remember to be very gentle to myself and other, then I enter that same violence and become identified to it. So, you know, the first agreement is gentleness. May I hear yay? For that.
Yay.
Yes. Yay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But the second is to dive deep into the shadow because granted that it's frightening and scary, that's the call. So we're going to dive, go for the shell, crack the shell open, and get a pearl out of it. So, again, I get a yes to that.
Yes, yes.
We are currently being recorded, and this is streaming freely on the web. So if you find that this, which is in your heart and your mind, is too much to be shared, then just remember that confidentiality is an option, and that you can request that. Okay. So, again,
yeah.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
The next one is as much as we can. The tendency being to go into avoidance as much as we can to do our utmost to remain in our presence. Again, may I get a yes to that one?
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you. Then emotionally, you know, this is what happens when we change. It is uncomfortable. Changing is uncomfortable. So staying in the same place, however, that's comfortable. So the call is to go on the fringe and dare being uncomfortable. Would that be a yes for you?
Yes.
Amen.
Excellent. And the last one is to check our assumptions, you know, in the space where we're stretching to understand that there is only one of us. There is separation that exists. And in the space where I separate, I judge, I make assumptions. So as soon as I realize that, I will upend with the family and say, you know, I'd like to check a judgment I have. I'd like to clear space with you. So, again, would that be a yes?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Awesome. Thank you, family. So those are our six agreements, and they're really coming one after the other. We start in gentleness that gives us the permission to dive deep. We remember that we have the option of confidentiality. As we're down under, we're doing the best to be present. We remind ourselves that changing involves discomfort, and we keep the space clean.
Beautiful. And I like the way that, and we'll come back to that, I like the way that you you work through this time as well, following the fractal lines above and making that so clear and modeling that. So thank you so much. That was awesome. Awesome. Oh,
you are so gentle, my brother.
Hey, man. Tag me for a second, but what you're sharing brought me back to a place of, yes, this is the way this goes in linearity and the way it goes in above and below. And so it just brought, that was very, very much appreciated. So last couple of weeks ago, we did an experience, and I mentioned that just briefly and on page 8 and 9 and roll the die, and then we came to page 10 of Did You Kabbalah It? And I believe that's where we stopped. And then this evening we're going to enter into, as we continue to move forward, I believe the beginning. And that page says beginning primary, being primary is to align what I say I want and what I actually have. And the power is increasingly experienced as I feel into the parallel worlds of paradise. And so I know also that the newsletter spoke about the sapphire. And so my sense was that we were going to go into the sapphire this evening and talk more about that, but also to tie it and link it to the other aspects of this, these fractals from the humorous and elementary and ignorance and knowledge, as was stated the last time we were together. Before we go to page 12, because I just, when I saw the word sapphire, I've been just, there's some amazing things that came up that I would have never known, that I never thought about. So I'll reserve those for a minute. But on page 11, are there any comments or statements that you want to make or share about page the art or the fractal on page 11?
This is Michael. You know, one of the things that I've really grown to appreciate is the symmetry of the books that Maha receives. And this example page here is perfect illustration of that. You know, the theme of this light blue color, and of course we didn't talk too much about the color code tonight, but having played with this material for a while, I know that we're entering a section that corresponds to the mind and the ideas in and around air and metal, if we're looking at the elements. And so I appreciate that color, code, symmetry. I can recall a time when it confused me to no end, and it left me with a lot of very uncomfortable feelings, if I were to speak it honestly. And what I'm seeing now as we work more and more with this material is that the color code to me feels comforting. It has me remember this, what I'm struck with, beyond, of course, the beauty of the art itself. I'm also remembering a very distinct time of my life when I first came to understand that the first word of the Bible could be read like a crossword puzzle, and that it has multiple meanings, and the idea that the traditional in the beginning could be heard differently, which is what I know we'll talk about. So I'm touched by all of those things put together, and looking forward to moving into this new section.
Yeah, and I'm glad you, Michael, I'm glad you mentioned that, because what you touched upon was just the layout and the structure. So just to say something about the structure, so the imagination fractal is, there's 6 degrees across imagination in this fractal, starting with psychobabble, and then in the peace, religion, sentience, one language, and globalism, which is to say that as we go through an understanding and inquiry in these particular areas in the realm of imagination, each chapter that comes forward will then begin to open up. So once we go through some foundational ground setting pieces, that will then bring us into a whole other segment and chapter just on psychobabble. And then we'll go through that, then that'll bring us to another segment on peace. And so each one of these particular sections here represents another component that's within this book that we're looking at. And you'll notice that the colors will change throughout the book as we get there. So thanks again for bringing that back up. Maha, Verena, any other thoughts that you would have about this and this alignment of being primary?
I wonder if it would be helpful, considering that we're going to look at page 12 that has the fractal, to briefly review to page 10, which gives us a sense of completion on this introduction and also introduces the fractal. Why is it an inquiry that I can trust? So would that be okay with you all if we were to look at page 10 as an intro to what we're about to jump into?
Absolutely. Yes.
Awesome.
So, go ahead.
I think it would be nice to have someone, well, maybe not, maybe we're not getting to the question, but feeling and transformation, I think you spoke of it. So maybe looking at awakening and peace and an inquiry I can trust, looking at those two in the middle of the page.
Mm-hmm.
So awakening and peace says, when I am not in peace, there is something I do not understand. From there, I have two sensible options. I can ask and answer the ultimate question, who am I? Inquiry, I can accept that I am not in peace, surrender. So that's the two only sensible option. Obviously, I can also meditate or go to sleep. But this wouldn't be sensible. So the question that is asked is, do I have the power to choose peace at all times? I would say no, I do not, although there's progresses. And the reason why is because there's still shadows, there's still monsters in my shadow that I am yet to embrace fully. That would be my answer. So they vie for my power, they compete with me for power, and they tend to win. So then an inquiry I can trust. So we just get to see that when I am not in peace, not in my power, I have two options. One is inquiry, one is surrender. And that generally I have found that inquiry helps me surrender. So therefore, I would look for a method that allows me to, a method of inquiry that I could trust. And then the method of inquiry that Expire utilizes is radical. It goes to the root because it uses sacred geometry. So we have spoken of the Genesis pattern. The image itself is on page. And that seed of life geometry is also known as the seed of, as the Genesis pattern. And it is mapping out the first chapter of Genesis. In other words, it reveals that the word and its result as the world is created in six, quote-unquote, days, six stages. And those stages climax in the consciousness of Shabbat, like the center sphere that is drawn out of the six being drawn, which is when I no longer push, I no longer try to make things happen, I no longer misuse force, I just rest. And we know that that feel as being in the zone. And there's a very different energy about resting and being in the zone and trying so hard to make things happen. And I find that trying to make things happen generally works against me. So this is how the word was created in 6 days. And then what happens is we can now move and understand better page 12, which is our inquiry for today. Because page 12 gives us the 6 days of the humors, the 6 days of the element, and then from the element, we are deducing and stipulating. It's not the word I want, not stipulating. But we are implying
hypothesis. Knowledge.
What is it, Michael?
Yeah, I think you were saying we are hypothesizing. We were coming up with a hypothesis.
No, that was not either the word I was looking for. It might come back. You know, part of the gentleness is a very, very tired body, as you may hear it in my voice. And it's so good, but right now the word is not here. But it's a deductive process not as much a hypothesis, but a deduction. And we're going to see how that works this evening.
Great, so...
Extrapolation, that's it, that's the word. We're going to extrapolate. You see, it came back. Out of the elements, we extrapolate knowledge. Out of the knowledge, we extrapolate ignorance. Does that make sense?
Out of the elements, we extrapolate
knowledge. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's
and
an inference. In other words, we take something that is known, which are the six elements, and now we're going to infer an unknown, which is knowledge. But we're going to see how that works in a moment.
Great, great, beautiful. All right. So I won't get sidetracked here, but we'll bring it back, and maybe Michael, you can take a piece of this and start. But I never really thought a lot about the sapphire, and I started looking at sapphire just the links and whether it was linked to King Solomon or Abraham or talismans that they wore or the law that Moses gave them, the stone of wisdom. It's just, there's so much, and then I got to looking at how the hardness of a sapphire. And it's just so there was just so much that I really need to look at, and I think what can be extrapolated, the knowledge that can be extrapolated from that, and so I'm really open to hear what's coming forward here. So, Michael, would you like to start us, and then Maha, we can jump right in there.
Sure. And, you know, going directly to the point, building off knowledge, if we look at the bottom of this page first, and then we'll maybe go back to the top in a moment, there's this multicolored table with a bunch of words in it. And if you were to just look at the bottom row of that table, the title of that row is called knowledge. And so when Maha was talking about extrapolating from the elements, the idea of knowledge, what that means and what this connects to is that the element of ether, which is the row above it, the black ether, connects to the knowledge of my voice. And moving to the right, if we just went linearly in this case and saw that the light blue color of air/metal brings me into the knowledge of my mind. Likewise, the blue water in my soul, the brown earth in my body, the red fire in my heart, and the green wood in spirit. So what we're looking at here, connecting it to a real depth of, in order for me to have knowledge and to really infer knowledge and to understand knowledge, I need to play with the whole deck. I'm a multidimensional being with a voice emanating from the quantum field itself, a spirit that connects me to all, a heart that is just espousing the language of love. These elements, these instruments of knowledge play together to generate the experience that we call living. And so the way that life can be experienced then can either be really coming from this side of knowledge, or likewise, and perhaps a little bit different experience, connecting it more to the invitation for shadow work, is when I'm in ignorance, I forget my voice, and I move into a screech, which is the very top row of this colored table here. And so instead of being in knowledge, my voice is in screech, my mind is split, My soul is lost. I've got a pain body instead of abiding fully in my body. My heart feels broken and my spirit forsaken. So just knowing the color code and that the, of course, idea is to not be attached to any one of these, but to really learn to have the integrity to abide right in the middle, to use this nature tool here in the color codes to really begin to understand how these elements and how these color codes can truly strengthen the inquiry work that I'm doing when I am in suffering. So I thought it would be neat to go directly to knowledge, and maybe I'll pause there before we go back up to the top of the page. You guys want to add or comment on anything?
Well, I'm hearing what you're saying, and once what's coming back to me is Maha's statement in reference to what you're saying and how you went into it to extrapolate knowledge from the elements. And so it would stand to reason that for me and probably most people, we would look at black as being the dark, and that the voice and the depth of my voice and the power comes from out as much as a seed has to be planted in the dark, and how all of these things hold together, whether blue is for water and that's pretty consistent, brown for earth. So these colors match up with not just elementary and elements, but tied through things that we can relate to in an everyday common occurrence in terms of looking at them. So it what you're saying, it helps to reinforce these colors and ties it to the different elements and what knowledge is coming out of this. So, like, I don't want to repeat that, but it's just honing in on when I'm thinking of the body, that's a direct association with earth, and that's brown. When I'm thinking about my soul, and it's a direct relationship to water, and that's blue, and that's just, that comes back. And so that's setting a framework for everything else that is to follow, to extrapolate those things. So awesome. Thank you. Maha, what else, or Verena, what other comments would you make here in reference to what Michael shared?
Well, that's, to me, that's a very essential process that we are onto here. And the metaphor that comes to my mind, and granted, I never did any mountain climbing, but I still have this image in me that if you're going to climb a mountain, then each step you take, you're going to make certain that your weight can be supported by the stone that you're stepping onto, speaking of stone. And elementary is really our first stone. It's elementary, dear Watson. Because if we take the main cosmology of this planet, this world, this universe at this time, then we find that in Western cosmology, there are four elements, which are air, water, earth, and fire. Now, if we were to study the Tao, the Chinese Tao, then we would find that there are five forces, five elements. Air turns to metal in Chinese understanding, water, earth, fire, and then there's wood. And then if we turn to Hinduism, we find the same classical four elements, but there is also ether. So what elementary does is it's taking a worldwide view of what is absolutely elementary. And we can trust that. This can be tracked. This can be verified, just so that no matter whether you're in Timbuktu or New York City, you could be at home. And that stone named elementary, that fractal could support your weight. So that's our stepping stone, literally. And it has to be super solid. And as Michael explained it to us, we then extrapolate out of the element an instrument of knowledge. Again, what the signs are more connected to the soul, earth signs to the body, fire signs to the heart, regardless whether you look at Hinduism, Judaism, Taoism, same. But what that affords us is something extremely important to my listening, which is that in a lot of spiritual writings, there has to be alignment on what it is that we're calling the soul, what it is that we're calling the spirit, what it is that we're calling the heart, what is the mind-body connection. Often there's not even the voice in that attribution, even though the voice may be the most important. And what that process to infer from an element, an instrument of knowledge, gives me the trust that I know what the mind is, I know what the soul is, there is no confusion. It is as clear as air, as clear as water, as illuminated as fire, as verdant as wood. It's undeniable. And now that we have elementary and knowledge as two very solid stone, then the rest comes forward very easily, because with knowledge comes ignorance, such as the polarity of it. The opposite of mind is the split mind, the opposite of the heart is the broken heart, etc. And then, similarly, the polarity of the elements that are out there are the humors that are in here. And then, that is how we have a basis that is solid, that has integrity, that is global, and that can speak to every one of us. And that is the code, the created six codes, the 6 days that we are basing ourselves on, knowing that the first word of the Bible can also be translated as created six, and that the God that is created six created the heaven, which in Hebrew is fire, water, and the earth. So it's right on, like right from the get-go, something elementary that gives me a foundation, something I can trust. Because I tell you what, the ego mind is going to say, is going to deny every possible form of knowledge. But that can't be denied. So that's the part that is important to me.
How beautifully said. I think that's so significant, and I'm hearing it in a way that I have not heard it before. So it's easy to say from one place, as I was reading it earlier, an inquiry that I can trust. And so what you've done is deepen that to an extent of making it very foundational, that it represents and reflects a world wide view and a global perspective from all different forms whatever religion people have and the way that they believe and organize those thoughts around what they believe in to get to a place of saying, okay, this is just foundational and it's right here. And so in doing, it sets up something that's pretty elementary that is that stepping stone that can't be denied. No way around it. It doesn't, it's not like it requires a logical agreement. It's put forward here as fact, and I accept that, and I feel that in a very different way. So thank you. That's just very, very, very nicely done. Michael, Verena, any other thoughts or comments?
No, I mean, now the colors that we're looking at here can make a little more sense, and we've got these sapphires along the bottom, which in this case are mapped to the colors of this, what's known as the dream code, the golden-looking sapphire, the red-looking sapphire, the black sapphire, and so forth. So now we can know that as we go through the book that those codes are connecting to something that we can trust. And that's what I was commenting earlier, is the appreciation for the everything that's inferred out of the connection to these elements and instruments of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You're right. It just like I glanced at page 13, not to go there, but I glanced at page 13 when you take out all the words and just see the numbers there, then you can transfix and know that which is above and below, you know that one spot is the voice. And it's black. You know that six spot is the mind. So, but we'll get there. But it's just like those have been pulled aside because there's a foundation that's elementary that's been set up to relate to. So this is going to continue to build and build and give a place to always go back to if that's not clear, to see where the starting point was. As Maha said, this is the first stone that you're stepping off on. So that's awesome. So the card, Verena, well, you can't read, so you said you weren't in a place where you could read. So, Maha, anything else that you would add from the box at the top?
There's those multicolored sapphires, which the sapphire is a very interesting stone. I mean, most of us think of it as a blue sapphire, maybe even a yellow sapphire. But sapphire is actually a stone that has many colors, that comes in many colors. Mm-hmm. And that ability to be multicolored, to not be just like fixed in one meme, in just one area of life, that's expanded awareness. That's pure awareness. And that's what that first card and letter, the jester, that whose eye is not attaching to specific meaning, in a sense, but ask, is there another way of looking at it? And as you pointed out, this section, I believe it was you, Michael, that was pointing how you got comfort out of entering a section and entering a zone of color. So now we're in the Asia zone of this information, and we keep on shifting our perception, and by shifting the way we look at it, at things, then that which we look at changes. So that's how Xpia, which is sapphire itself, that's one of the meanings of Xpia, brings us to really have an embodied experience of wisdom. This is how to embody wisdom, to keep on shifting our perspective. So that's how I would speak of Aleph, who is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the field, so to speak, the space of pure awareness. And as a tarot, it is the Fool. And Xpia depicts it as a gesture, as this fun, light-hearted figure that is very peaceful. So that's the way to expire, is continuing, finding another way to look at the same situation. It works. And maybe, Zarina, would you be willing to take a situation that challenged you today?
Sure. Yes. I found myself dreading going to work because I was thinking about someone's, my perceived judgment of me being poor, and I somehow like didn't even want to see her face.
So you were dreading going to work because there was someone you didn't want to see. Is that correct?
Yeah, because of the perception I have of her assessment of me.
Okay. So now take the exact same situation and change the way that you look at it. Change your position. Change, you know, your perception. And then give us another way to look at the exact same situation. I am going to work and I'm going to see this person. Now, how can you look at it?
Well, I could do a flip and imagine that she's dreading going to work because she doesn't want to see me.
Okay, keep going. Another way to look at it.
That I'm not taking care of something, and so I make it about work, but it might be maybe something in my home that I'm dreading to handle. I kind of leave the space and make it about something else.
Okay. And then, all right, so instead of being the work, then you displace the dread onto your home. Okay.
Yeah.
And how could you displace the dread itself? What could be another perspective on the dread itself?
Well, the dread could be actually telling me that there's something that is bothering me that I've not let myself feel into. It could be an alert or a red flag or like a hello there. A signal.
Interesting. So something I am not wanting to know, a signal I'm not wanting to read, a sensation I'm not wanting to sense, a feeling I'm not wanting to feel.
Yeah.
And have you come into that new way of looking at it, how does that feel to you? What happens to you?
Well, that is a surprise to even say that and go, wow, I did have a sense of something else by just talking it through just for these few moments here.
Excellent. So
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
the practicality at work of what we're speaking of. You know, it's like there's a situation that bothers you. Keep on shifting it until you can have a form of release, as an hearing you just had, Verena.
Yeah, it takes the darkness out, the dread out, to go, oh, that definitely lightens it right away.
Beautiful. All right. Well, Emilio, Olios, thank you, V.
Thank you.
Thank you, V. I just think that's just precious because what we're doing here, and I love the way that you did it, is there's a component, one, of we started with the discussion of Michael and grounding it in terms of the theoretical aspect of it, but the knowledge and the elements and how those elements are extrapolated from the knowledge and then being grounded in it, but then to take it to a practical level to say, okay, so is there another way of looking at it? Let's then go into how that's done. And then just to walk through what you just did with V and to continue to shape it and continue to, which is a part of the inquiry. So the inquiry is also digging deeper into, is there another way of looking at it? And each time I look at it and I heard you say, ah, as a part, because somewhere along the midst of that inquiry and continue like a Rubik's Cube to keep twisting and turning and looking at it in a different way, something's going to pop to bring me to a place and say, oh, that, now that's another way of looking at it. I hadn't thought of that before. And in that moment, and because you're with it in the present and holding it right there, it's no longer this projection out there. I've now honed in on something that's right there. So I just think that's amazing, and that can be done with anything. And also think I really like the way that Aleph is, because it starts off the alphabet from in Hebrew, which means there's another way of looking at it. Each letter or alphabet that follows it shifts and tweaks the next way that that's looked at. So it's a never-ending process of always looking at this, always going to be another way of looking at it. Am I willing to do the work? Am I willing to inquire, to see it a different way? And that brings me back full circle then that, yes, this is a process and something that I can trust, because the ego stopped long time ago and didn't see it was any other way. It was just it. So I'm loving it. And this really does open up a world for us to dabble into as we pick back up. So I'm feeling a lot of connection, and I think what touches me is something that you said, that is something I can trust and I can keep shifting my perspective. So that's what's touching me. How about you, Michael?
Same. I mean, the intuition of the color, the comment that we started with, I'm looking at this page in summary here where it says each section is marked by a color, and the color invites me to experience another way. And we're really looking at the experience, not just the intellectual element, but the shadow work that, and I actually heard, and thank you, Verena, for, you know, really pausing. I could feel you taking on, is there really another way to look at it? I didn't feel the BS in, you know, sometimes I say, oh, yeah, look at that. I don't do it. I felt you doing it. And so I'm connecting to the faith that comes to the certainty of this foundation we're building together. So thank you, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Verena, what was it like for you? I mean, what touched you for this evening?
Well, I just love really how the sharing and explanations were very cohesive, and it felt very gentle and clear to me. So thank you.
Yeah. Maha?
To me, the process, I mean, this entire evening humbles me because I'm really seeing more and more and more, not my will, thy will be done. Said differently, I am seeing that I was empty enough to be able to just hear the heart speaking and let the heart speak. And it's not always the case. There's times where I find that I stumble all over myself in my speaking, and I'm like flabbergasted by those instances where I am so not speaking out of the true heart. And what I am seeing tonight is, granted that I have a preference, I really like it when I speak from my heart, I'm also seeing that this is not in my domain to make the choice. What is in my domain is to continue my inquiry, so as to continue carving the block that at times prevent the purity of the speaking to be here. So I am just surrendered and consoled would be my parting sense. I'm grateful for our work together.
Beautiful. I am called to a paragraph on page 2 as we close, and anyone that wants to read it can go read the full piece around the acknowledgments. The word no sticks out loud and clear. But it says, since, and this is part of Mahalene's writing, it says, since there is one of us, there's only one story of pain. Just like you, I have looked for love, approval, and recognition in all the wrong places. Just like you, I have known loneliness, sadness, inadequacy, and a fair amount of anger. As I found the courage to dive into the abyss and feel its archetypal darkness, I came out of the black hole with the memory of a voice that is unique yet can be heard by all. Called the path of XPR, expire, it boldly answers the call with the foolishness and the wisdom of here I am. I thought that was just so precious to tie it back to Aleph, because that's where we left off, and it's just amazing. So thank you all for being with us. Michael, we are together again on Sunday at 12 noon Eastern and 11 Central. Is that correct?
You got it. Looking forward.
Looking forward. That's on blogtalk.com, and that would be Empowering Now. So until then, we are here now, and we bless you and thank you and say good night. Thank you so much. Peace and love.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. New life for me.